The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, with us this morning with his quarter zip. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Does this guy work here?
What are you looking at?
I'm so locked.
Oh, my man right over there with the trench coat?
Yeah.
I hope he's working here.
I hope so, too, because he's in the machine.
He's in it. Just a little drama over here at the D. By the way, nightclub level music here at the D downstairs, like your ears in the speaker. 7 a.m. It's outstanding.
Oh, yeah. Well, you make the crossover here. When we walk in, it's still party nightlife atmosphere, and then somehow we get like the Bob Seger crossover hour here in the 7, 8 a.m. hour.
A lot of Bob Seger, not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
On the show today, it's Thursday. That means Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, though he is a bit under the weather today, so we might get a remote Crackman, but he'll be with us. Talk all things sports betting. Plus, Zach Cohen will join us, our own VSiN's own Zachary Cohen, to talk Australian Open. Looking forward to that and some NBA with him as well. Get Kelly's NBA picks if he has any today in the association. First, though, it is the squirreliest of all weeks in the National Football League, week number 18, and it got squirrelier. By the way, before we get to the squirreliness, I think I've said the word squirrely so much this week
that
Instagram fed me a video of Angie Harmon. Do you remember Angie Harmon? Is she still married to Jason Sehorn?
Oh, gosh.
Or was she at one point? Maybe she still is. I don't know. I haven't kept really in touch with Angie Harmon. But there's a video of her applying mascara or eyeliner.
Not married anymore.
I don't know what girls do in the bathroom anyway. But she's doing something there, right? Applying something to her face. And she has a pet squirrel. And the squirrel is climbing all over her while she's doing this, and she is completely unfazed.
Okay.
You got to see this. It's unbelievable. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Dude, people have weird pets, man.
Like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And you know how a squirrel darts back and forth? Oh, yeah. It's all over.
Yeah, like you ever seen, what do they got? You know, like ferrets. And then what was the weird one was those sugar gliders, like those little, those little like hamsters that can fly. They got little wings.
Oh, no. Not aware of those.
It's crazy, man.
Sugar gliders?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called. Yeah.
Completely unfamiliar.
That's what they're called.
All right. So here's what's going on. Again, if you missed it yesterday with all things in the National Football League. First of all, Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence limited practice yesterday. Let's talk about him for a second. Right shoulder, left finger injury. So it looks like he's going to play. I mean, if you read the tea leaves, the Jaguars, who again, if they win the AFC South. If they lose, there is a scenario where they still make the postseason. Let's keep that in mind.
Yep. I think he's going to gut it out, too. I mean, we've seen him so many times. I think that him sitting last week was all for this week. I think he might have been able to go last week if they really wanted to push it. I think it was more, hey, it's the Panthers. Let's sit back, get ready for Tennessee that following week where everything could be on the line. That's the case. Christian Kirk, we talked about it yesterday.
Also off the IR.
Activated from IR, so yep. A possibility he goes. Zay Jones, a possibility he goes. So you could see the Jags. We don't know how healthy they'll be. Could see them with their full complement of weapons, though, here for the first time in a long time.
Jaguars will be the number 4 seed if they win this game against the Carolina Panthers. Excuse me, against the Tennessee Titans, of course. Of course, people are latching onto that Mike Vrabel video, and so a lot of people are on the Titans here in this game, and a lot of people correctly saying, why should the Jags be favored by more than 3 points against anyone? Yet they are here by 5.5 at the Titans. Keep in mind, again, if they win, they're the AFC South champs, but if they lose, they could still make it as a number 7 seed with a loss if the Ravens beat the Steelers and the Raiders beat the Broncos. And you're saying to yourself, what do the Raiders Broncos have anything to do with it? Well, they'd have to get rid of the Broncos in that scenario because they lose tiebreakers in a collection with the Broncos. As far as the quarterbacks that are not playing, Lamar Jackson, as speculated, going to sit in the season finale. Tyler Huntley is going to go for the Ravens on Saturday. That was already built in, baked into the line on Saturday. You weren't here for guessing lines, Wyatt Tomchek, but that was the very first one where I'm like, I'm taking the Ravens plus the points. And Steve Mackinnon had a great thing in the newsletter. If you missed Bill Ady's newsletter this morning, Steve Mackinnon, which I don't think is a very easy thing to cull together, so I give him a lot of credit for this. Since 2011, underdogs in games where teams are resting starters, which is a tough thing to sort of cull together, that subset, 22-9 against the spread. 22-9, 71% against the spread. And again, the biggest PSA we can give for Week 18 is just because a team is in a must-win situation over a team that is resting players, it ain't that easy from a betting perspective. If it was, everybody go crazy on these, max out your bets, y'all go to the bank. But I have a feeling we're going to find out pretty quickly Saturday that the Ravens are going to be very live in this football game. So that's the first one, that Lamar Jackson is officially sitting in that one. Matthew Stafford is going to sit for the Rams. The only deal with the Rams here at the Niners, they're either going to be a 6 seed or a 7 seed, depending on the outcomes of events this weekend. And one of the things that I talked about on Monday on Guessing Lines as well is we as bettors tend to overestimate teams care about teams caring about seeding. Now, obviously, if it's a difference between the number one seed and something else, obviously teams care. That means a first round bye and number one, you know, home field advantage throughout. But when it comes to the difference between 6 or 7, or even in the case of the Lions, and I know Dan Campbell is saying, oh man, we want to get that, you know, we're going to play everybody, we're over it. Number two seed does matter because you would get theoretically a home game, you know, clinched for a division round game. But the Cowboys are playing the Commanders, so I don't know. Will Dan Campbell play his starters the entire game? The Lions game precedes the Cowboys game, so one could argue that they will, but that's going to be dicey with the spread. But as far as the Rams are concerned, not knowing if they're 6 or 7, Stafford's going to sit. They got other players who are going to sit as well. Carson Wentz is going to get the start. And all I care about here, of course, Kelly, is just tell Carson Wentz to feed Puka Nacua the ball. 4 catches, 30 yards shy of both rookie receiving records.
Yep.
Puka's the only name player playing, it feels like.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how long he goes, how long you know, anybody on the Niners side goes too, who are going to be playing.
Brock Purdy is going to sit in that same game. Sam Darnold will start. So you've got Wentz and Darnold. Catch the fever.
It does sound like the 49ers are going to, some of the other Niners players are going to go monitor that. I think from a live prop betting standpoint, that could be big too. Like, I think guys like Debo, he talked earlier in the week. I think those guys are going to play for a bit, at least a half, it sounds like, before they get sat down. So keep an eye on that for player prop perspective. And yeah, I mean, definitely ways to make money this week. You just got to be on top of all this stuff.
Niners are 4-point favorites in that game currently with those two quarterbacks. And again, if you're curious about the Rams scenario in terms of being a 6th or 7th seed, it is a little more complicated, but that's essentially where they'll end up, either 6 or 7.
And these books, like real quick, like you brought up before, those books have been all over this stuff, right? I mean, we're talking about like that San Francisco, the Rams game and then the Ravens game. Talking about both of those, like we saw announcements yesterday on quarterbacks, and those lines barely moved. They moved a half point, you know, got bet back. This is already baked in, like you said, a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Then there is Joe Flacco and the Browns. The Browns are going to sit Joe Flacco. Maybe for those holding comeback player of the year tickets, maybe they think that's a bad thing. It is going to be Jeff Driscoll at quarterback for the Brownies in this game. This line has gone up to 7 in favor of the Bengals. Getting back to that Bill Ady newsletter this morning, he points out that this is only the second time in history, then, that you will see a team, the Browns in this case, with 5 starting quarterbacks having played in a season where a team gets to the playoffs. The only other one, the 1984 Chicago Bears, Kelly.
Wow.
I tried to guess the 5 on the Bears. I could only guess 2, Jim McMahon and Steve Fuller.
I was going to say, you would have got McMahon out of me. That's it.
I could not have guessed Bob Avellini, Greg Landry, who was probably 100 years old in 1984. In those days, by the way, like if you were 38 years old, which I think Landry was, you had gray hair, complete gray hair. And then Rusty Lish, which I couldn't have guessed in a 1,000 years. By the way, that was a Bears team that was the only team in the history of RFK Stadium that went into RFK Stadium in D.C. in a postseason game and beat Washington. History of that stadium. It's the only loss Washington ever had at RFK Stadium. And it was one of these Bears teams where I think Steve Fuller completed fewer than 10 completed forward passes in that game. But it was the portent of things to come for the Bears. They got shut out by the Niners in the championship game. But you knew that defense was about to explode. And in 1985, it was the greatest defense of all time. And the Bears 85 team, of course, is etched in history. You think about that, by the way, if you're a Browns ticket holder, can you make that parallel? Only to the extent that, you know, if you have five starting quarterbacks, your defense probably is the strength of your team no matter what. But in this case, the Browns defense is really good. But they are 7-point dogs in this Week 18 game now against the Bengals. So I don't know if we can draw the parallel that the Browns defense is going to explode next year. But anyway, that's the only similarity. We'll see. And then Patrick Mahomes is out. Remember, the Chiefs are locked into the number 3 seed, much like the Browns are locked into the number 5 seed. So there's nothing to play for. And Blaine Gabbert is going to go for the Chiefs. The Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. I don't know if are you going to race to bet the Chargers here? I mean, come on. So anyway, Nick Mullins, by the way, named the starter for the Vikings as Kevin O'Connell continues to botch that situation. Sam Howell is going to start for the Commanders, so we never get the Jacoby Brissett experience as a starter this year.
I think it makes sense, though. I think you got to go with Howell. Like, I think they got to figure out what they got with him. If every one of these games gives you a little bit more information to go on off next year, I think it's the right call there.
We talk about how the Bears haven't figured out what they have in Justin Fields, maybe. And I don't know if the Bears have set themselves up to figure out. Like, it's not like they've put him in the best position. Washington has no idea what they have in Sam Howell to me, with that offensive line being a sieve. So any more data they can get, I guess they'll take it there. And so Washington, of course, big, big dogs against the Commanders. All of those things in play this week, Week 18. I've got 4 plays. We'll review them on the other side. We'll also talk about movement in the awards markets. Zach Cohen on the other side to talk some Australian Open with us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking a bit smarter, then VSiN has the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday specials today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today and get unlimited access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all our betting guides and best bets for all college bowl games, the Super Bowl, March Madness, of course, College National Championship on Monday. Don't miss out on this limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our holiday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lovely downtown Las Vegas. This gentleman comes to us from any number of directions, but tennis is one of his primary gigs. He also, of course, writes about multiple sports at VSiN.com. His name is Zach Cohen, and he joins us now. How you doing, Zach? What's happening?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing very well. Let's talk a little Australian Open, which is, 9 days away now, if I'm counting correctly, which I'm super pumped about. I know you are as well. Let's start on the men's side. Novak Djokovic now clear of both Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer in terms of career singles Grand Slam. So he has he doesn't have that to pursue anymore. I guess he could break Margaret Court's, the tie with Margaret Court for the most all time in both men's and women's. That obviously is a motivator, but he's going as strong as ever. He is the short shot to win this slam, which he's already won 10 times. He's plus 110, followed by Carlitos Alcaraz at plus 330, Jannik Sinner at 7-1, and then Rafa Nadal is sort of a nod to his greatness, let's say. Seems shorter than he should be at 9-1. Everybody else, including Daniil Medvedev at 11-1, double digits. Your thoughts here. Is there someone besides Joker that you would consider betting on?
I think that Sinner is a pretty good bet at plus 700, plus 750, which is available out there. I think that what you saw towards the end of last season was really a statement that he is joining that top tier with Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz. Last year, he had a top 5 hold percentage and break percentage over the course of the 2023 season. The only other players to do that in the history of the sport, Novak Djokovic, Andre Agassi, Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer. So it's elite company. I think that he's going to have a massive season. And I do think he'll probably win his first major. So I kind of think that the Australian Open is going to give him the best chance to do so because of the speed of the courts, you know, the uncertainty surrounding it being the first event of the year. And now Djokovic has an injured wrist. In typical Novak fashion, he's entering the tournament with some injury concerns that are going to make him second guess him a bit.
Did you have the same reaction to that I did, though, which is, oh, look, he has a wrist injury. I'm sure that'll really affect him in the Australian Open.
I never know what to think. Like, I mean, he looked pretty bothered by it, and then he lost Alex de Minaur, who I don't think he would ever lose to at 100% health. It was funny because I heard him make a joke saying that he had like three pieces of chocolate the night before, which broke his insane diet. So that's probably why he hurt his wrist. But yeah, I don't know what to make of it, but it does make it a little hard to back him at, you know, plus 100, pretty much even money odds.
Yeah, he is. His body is pristine. His body is pristine, that's for sure. You got to respect that about him. With the facts, he didn't try to impose that on anyone else. He just liked it for, you know, for himself, as opposed to some others. I agree with your Jannik Sinner take because, one, I think when we were a year ago, we would have said maybe the same thing about Sinner, which is, okay, he's on the cusp of breaking into the top of the top. Obviously, he was right below that anyway to begin with. I had him as like the fifth best player in the world last year. But now, like, it did kind of happen towards the end of the calendar year where it's like, oh, here it is finally. It's also coupled with a bit of a dip from Carlitos, from his top form, which may have just been he's exhausted from playing a lot of tennis. So what you're looking for, are you looking for in the draw for Sinner to be on Carlitos' side? Would that even make it even that much more of a bet for you?
I'm comfortable with wherever he is because we did see him beat Novak twice in the span of a week towards the end of the season with, you know, pretty high stakes, one at the ATP finals. I know he lost to him once they got to bracket play, but, you know, it's hard to beat him that many times in a row. But he ended up beating him in the Davis Cup in a match that both of them really wanted. And like you said, like, we've been waiting for a breakthrough from Sinner. He got it at that Masters 1000 in Toronto. Then he won a couple of big tournaments after that. I do think that the breakthrough kind of already happened. And something that I kind of think is a little sneaky is that I do think that the Australian Open, there's a little bit less pressure than there is at other events. You know, it's kind of happening overnight in the States. There's no, you know, media getting on these guys. And there's, you know, I don't think that any of these guys are really in their top form. So if you really do come in and like you bring it that week, you have a chance to win.
He definitely does feel like he is the third best player in the world right now. Is there somebody, if I came to you from the future and I said, hey, man, it wasn't Djokovic, it wasn't Carlos, it wasn't Jannik Sinner, someone else won this, and I hate to put this to you, but who would it be?
I guess the boring answer would be Medvedev. Yeah. I just still think that he's probably a top four hardcore player in the world. He's probably the fourth best player in the world in general, and he kind of gets left out of the top tier conversations, but he had a really good hardcore season in 2023. These conditions do suit him well because he's a good server, he's a powerful hitter from the baseline, but the speed of the court is really fast. It helps him, you know, tick up the miles per hour a little bit more from the baseline and on the serve, and just one of the best defensive players in the world and a really smart player who gives himself an advantage every time he goes out there. I'd say Medvedev has a shot at winning. I also am pretty interested in like a Casper Ruud to win his quarter. I think I've come on here a few times. I'm higher on Ruud than a lot of other people, but you know, he's a guy that's made the finals of Grand Slams. He's been playing really well since the start of 2024. I know it's like three matches or so, but he hasn't dropped a set. Last year, he did not take the early portion of the season very seriously. He was pretty, you know, adamant about pushing his offseason back a few weeks. I think that he came in with the right mentality this year, and I do think he's a top seven or so player in the world. So I think he has a chance to prove that.
Ladies, anybody going to beat Iga?
I don't think so. And that is the most boring answer you can give anyone, but
it's the correct one, I think.
Yeah. I think that once Sabalenka took that world number one, there was a lot of pressure off Iga's shoulders. Starting in October of last year, she was unbeatable. She hasn't dropped a set in 2024 either. I just think that her forehand kind of got away from her towards the second half of last season. That shot's back to being one of the best shots in the world. And when it is, she's pretty unbeatable. I mean, the only other player on the woman's side that I'm interested in is like, you know, kind of long shots. Like I see a Madison Keys at 50-1 on a hard court, and I just don't really see that computing to me. I think that she's a player that can always make a run because of the way she serves and how hard she hits on the baseline. So, you know, a flyer on Keys, I do think that the odds makers have been telling us a story about Mira Andreeva for a while.
Yes.
Pricing her in with some of the favorites when she hasn't really proven anything. I think that there's a pretty good shot that we see her do some big things in 2024 as well.
I would agree with that. Mira Andreeva, 35-1 to win this Australian Open. But yeah, I said it when Iga won Beijing. I was like, that was her message of, I hope you all enjoyed it while you could. All right, let's talk NBA a little bit here before we get out. You have a play today. Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two game slate tonight. Not a great two game slate. I'm just playing the Spurs +9.5 against the Bucks, who are on the second night of a back to back, have lost two straight games against the Indiana Pacers. It's not only their second game of a back to back, it's also their third game in four nights. So I do think that they're going to be laying a little too much in San Antonio. It's a bad Spurs team, but I do think it's a well rested Spurs team, one with energy, one with young legs. I think that they're going to be able to keep this game somewhat close because of the fatigue factor.
What is your biggest for this early part of this NBA season? What's the stance you have on a team, either to the good or the bad, that you feel is the most different from conventional wisdom? How do you see things most differently from the norm?
I mean, I guess I'm still not too worried about the Phoenix Suns. I've talked about on the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. I just think that it's been a matter of health with them, and what we've seen when the big three have played together, which has not been much, has been good, especially on the offensive side of the court. So I do think Phoenix is still very much a contender in the Western Conference, not a team to worry about. I think they'll end up probably getting the fifth seed in the West. And then as for the bad, I mean, the Lakers are really looking horrible. After that loss to the Heat last night, I think LeBron James like left the court without speaking to media. Just a really ugly loss. And I do kind of think that they're on, you know, play and watch. And that's really crazy considering the moves they made in the offseason, you know, the brand and just how well Davis and LeBron are playing.
How many teams realistically do you think can actually win the NBA title?
That's a tough question. I mean, I think that the Sixers are the third team in the East that can win, but I do think it would probably take a deal at the deadline for them to do it. So I'd say there's three in the East, and then I'd probably say that there's four in the West that I really do think have a chance of winning. I think that the Nuggets, the Suns, the Timberwolves, and the Clippers are those four teams.
All right, Zach Cohen, everybody. He is a VSiN senior editor, co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, and again has the Twitter handle of Betting on X. One of the great swoop jobs in the history of Twitter.
That's right. Made that move as soon as it switched over.
It's a lot of
I was people. Ready to pounce.
You're ready to pounce. Well done. Hardwood Handicappers, how many times a week now these days?
5 days a week, Monday through Friday, Gil.
Get out.
Swear to God. Oh. Get your game previews on the full slate every single day at Hardwood Handicappers.
All right, Zach. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, and good luck with all the Aussie Open bets.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Let's go, Iga. Let's go, Iga. Let's get it done.
You got a few bets tied in her.
Just a couple.
Just
going for her fifth Grand Slam title. The number one player in the world. Back to being the number one player in the world. More NFL talk on the other side, including some awards movement. We'll get into that. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, let's talk some Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what the team needs to do to get to number one. You know we're always debating that, Kelly. But Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Gil Alexander, the ailing Kelly Bidlin, fighting off a little cold here. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the...
You're a trooper, man. I've been so gross over here today. I've like coughed like a million times.
You're disgusting.
I'm feeling thing. Better, but you know what it's like when it's like leaving you? Like it's gross. It's gross.
Gets into a different family.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is from... Boop-a-doop-a-doo. This is from Rolando Sperando.
What up, Rolando?
He says, Drew Dinsick deserves a shout out for his spot on NBA Leans the other day.
Boom. Yeah, he's been hot. I went 3-0 last night. It was been a good NBA week. Been a great NBA week, actually. Let me rephrase that. It's been awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Drew's kind of been lockstep, too. He's had a great week.
The fate of the Thunder? was one of them.
Yep, that worked out. That worked out last night. I know I got a bunch of tweets about it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, like, I mean, I bet the Rockets their past two games, they've been bet against their past two games. I haven't really understood it. I know I got a lot of tweets about that yesterday. Like, this number's at 5. Why isn't it 5? Now it's at 4.5. Why isn't it 4.5? Why isn't it 4? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm still betting it. And that the Nets hung around, but the Rockets ended up winning that one pretty easily, 112-101 last night, so they get the cover there. Yeah, closed 4.
Hawks beat the Thunder 141-130, and it was a really high scoring night in the NBA for what is.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Speaking of which, the highest of the high, the Pacers 142-130 over the Bucks. They get 47 points in the third quarter alone, and they're now 4-1. Is it the finish of the year? 4-1 against the Bucks this season?
I mean, usually you wouldn't even play 5 games, but they had the in-season tournament.
They had the in-season tournament.
So yeah, 4-1, a nice little under the radar rivalry that has clearly developed in the Eastern Conference.
Tyrese Haliburton, 31 points, 12 rebounds. Yeah, they beat the Bucks in the semifinals of the. Of the in-season tournament before the Lakers beat the Pacers in the final. There was that, and then
the Pacers are kind of cocky about it now, too. Like, you listen to these guys talk, but they're like, we know what they're going to do. Like, we know what they're going to do. They can't stop us. Like, they can't stop us. And okay. It's, like, kind of true on both sides.
Let's win something first.
You're like, Indiana, you can't stop Giannis at all. Like, so, you know, be careful what you say, but yeah.
Pistons almost got another win last night. They lose to the Jazz in overtime, 154-148. Good God. But they do get the money here in terms of the spread. They cover the 8.5 in that ballgame. As Zach referred to, Lakers lost their third in a row. They fell to the Heat, 110-96. Pels, big win for them over the T-Wolves, 117-106. So a lot of interesting results in the NBA last night. And then the Clippers, I guess the Suns didn't have Kevin Durant. Clippers took advantage, 131-122. What does this league become with these scores?
Yeah, they were dominant in that game for the most part as well. You know, kind of Hawks Thunder, a little bit deceiving as well. Hawks were up like 20, at halftime, I think it was. Let the Thunder creep back into that game a little bit. But yeah, some really... You brought it up to me like a couple weeks ago. Yes, last night the scores were absurd, especially those late games.
Well, okay, so let's just say the Clippers and Suns. So 253 points scored. The total was 231.5.
Yeah.
There are tons of these games where the total, the pre-flop seems, oh my God, it's such a high pre-flop. And then the game soars over it anyway. Have you been betting totals a lot? Have you been betting overs a lot? Or is this just... I mean, what are the numbers? What's the data suggest?
Not a ton. I mean, you've seen my NBA betting for a long time. It's not, I don't dive into totals as much. I think that there's a better chance I'm going to look at a team total even as opposed to a regular game total. But yeah, I mean, these are flying over some of these nights, but it's just, there's so many teams now that have gotten into the understanding that if they're going to compete with some of the better teams, they've got to be able to shoot the three. They've got to play at a higher tempo, get up and down the court. And if the defense comes along with it, great. But the Pacers are the perfect example.
Perfect example.
If we can score, we can run faster than you, we can put up more threes than you, make it a math game, then it's always going to, as long as we have a good shooting night, it's always going to put you in a tough spot. And they keep constantly putting that pressure on. So it's definitely team to team like that. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Because you do have some clear teams that are just all offense, no defense right now.
Primetime Cowboys _Cubs1. Using the term dicey and squirrely, describing week 18 of the NFL, please be careful. PETA is always listening, he says. Well, it's gotten onto my phone for sure. Speaking of week 18 and speaking of what we had on who we had on yesterday on the show, we had Aaron Schatz on from FTN Sports. He's the creator of DVOA. He's also one of the 50 AP voters for NFL Awards. Hope you were able to hear those segments yesterday with him. He talked DVOA and the historical place of both the Ravens and the Niners. He's got the Ravens as the third best team, regular season team of all time, back to 1981 anyway, all time in terms of what he's tracked. And the Niners the sixth best. I mean, that's company with the 2007 Patriots and the 91 Skins and the 85 Bears, legendary teams that won Super Bowls. But he is an awards voter, and he said some interesting things yesterday. He was coy on a lot. It appears on, you know, let's talk about his reaction to Comeback Player of the Year. When he was on with us 3-4 weeks ago, he said, interesting point, he's like, hey, Hamlin's either going to be number one on your ballot or he's going to be off your ballot, because that's, people are going to process this award differently than anything else. You're either going to consider the fact that he almost died on the field as the only thing that matters, or you're going to treat it as something that, no, I'd rather make this a on-the-field football comeback thing. And he said he would not have Hamlin on. Yesterday, he felt like he kind of wavered on it. And he, one of the things he pointed out, and we said this before in weeks past, but he really crystallized it, where he said, I don't want to be the guy where it gets out that I didn't vote for Hamlin. Now, Joe Flacco sitting this week also has affected things here. Joe Flacco now plus 175 in the comeback player of the year market. Damar Hamlin now up to minus 250 all of a sudden.
Yeah, I would think, I mean, this is a lot of this movement, obviously, because Flacco's sitting this week, and that hurts his case.
I know where you're going here.
But I do think it's a little bit what we discussed yesterday, yes, where it was like that was the buy point of minus 150 was one of the best prices we've seen on Damar Hamlin in so long. And everything we've heard from these guys that vote, man, like, I think you can lean that way.
Well, I think it's what we talked about yesterday, which is it's simply people who have a position on Flacco.
Yes.
We're probably just covering the position, right? Where they're like, what? Because if you think that it's only Hamlin or Flacco, which I'm in that camp, I don't think Baker Mayfield's getting it. I really don't. I don't think anybody else is. Could be wrong, but I don't think so. And if you believe that, then you make that play. And that might explain the movement.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I feel like I've seen more 100-1, 150-1, 200-1 tickets on Flacco for comeback player of the year than I've, you know, compared to other awards markets out there. More of those. So, yeah, I think it does make sense to cover your position. I don't know about you, but I was really considering making a bet yesterday at about minus 150 on Hamlin. Ended up staying away. At this point, I'll probably stay away, too. I think... Yes, I think what we heard from Aaron Schatz is good. Like,
I think it's Hamlin.
I just think that's going to be a lot of people's thing. Yeah. It's, well, I could go Joe Flacco, but like
Sando, Mike Sando.
I don't want to be the only guy who didn't have Damar Hamlin.
Like. Yeah, I don't want that to get out because usually things don't get out. But if someone was curious enough, let's say it was 48-2. Let's say he got 48 first place votes.
Yes.
Someone's going to be pesky. Some intrepid
the Twitter
reporter.
Investigators would be all
I gotta over find
it.
Out who these two people are that are awful human beings that didn't vote for Damar Hamlin. And I mentioned this also. If you believe that Joe Flacco can be comeback player of the year having played five games, you should also think that CJ Stroud can't by not playing five games. They should be meaningful enough that it could sway it for you too. That was the other interesting thing that Aaron Schatz said yesterday was, you know, or Mike Sando said 2 days ago, Mike Sando's an AP voter for these awards as well. He works at The Athletic. He was leaning Puka Nacua. He said he wasn't completely convinced yet, but he was leaning Puka. Aaron Schatz said, I'm going to have to figure out why he's only the seventh best rookie wide receiver in my numbers. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that was a little interesting.
Yeah, DYAR is his stat for that. Defensive rookie of the year, we had Jason Weingarten on yesterday, in case you missed it. Jason might be singularly responsible for the move on Kobe Turner. He requested Kobe Turner at Caesars. They made a number for him at 25-1. He bet it, and it bounced down to single digits. Now we have Jalen Carter at minus 275. Will Anderson's at plus 240. Kobe Turner of the Rams is 7-1. Aaron Schatz's instinct yesterday was that Jalen Carter will probably still win it.
I think this one is so up in the air.
I do too.
I think it was such a good bet by Jason. You just go and look at basic, like just the basic accounting stats for these guys, right? Like not like any of the three of them have been that integral, right, to the defense. Jalen Carter comes in on pass rush situations. He racked up those sacks early in the year. That's why he went out to the big favorite that we saw him at basically for the entire season. But what Will Anderson and Kobe Turner have done the past couple weeks, they've racked up like four sacks each basically over the past couple weeks. Their numbers are real comparative now.
Isn't this the category, though, where recent performance matters more than what you did earlier? It feels that way.
Yes, I think so. That's right. Like, I think Anderson or Kobe Turner is very, very live in this.
Kobe Turner has the numbers. The others are kind of nebulous, you know, so we'll see. But that's what we got here on the show in the last couple days. Crack will join us next right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, and they'll get the NBA League Pass for the rest of the season. Download the app and use the promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark, another Jason Stark. He said, hey, Gil, those shots best team ever numbers are meaningless because they don't include the actual best teams ever, the late 70s Steelers. Pick a year. He hasn't gotten back that far. He is efforting 1980 and 1979 right now, and he will go back in time as quickly as he can get the footage of each and every play. I think there was like one game in 1980 he couldn't get his hands on.
I was like, that was the story, right? Yeah, he'll be digging in archive rooms of local news stations across the country.
And it will be interesting to see how teams like that stack up, because he went through the entire 80s. I'm sure Niners fans would have thought, oh, all those 80s teams, Niners 80s teams will stack. No, the 91 Skins and the 2007 Patriots were cut above. Trevor Warwick, he said, that rogue 40-1 I found on Kobe Turner yesterday, now down to 6-1 this morning. Yeah, Trevor, this is a Jason Weingarten kind of thing.
Oh, we were showing 7-1 at DraftKings. Like, it's shorter most places.
But that's all it takes in an award market like that for it to move on air. A reporter asked John Riggins, this is the oldest joke in the book here. He said, a reporter asked John Riggins if the 83 Skins could beat the current Commanders team. He thought for a second and said yes, but it would be close, maybe 21-17. The reporter asked, really, why so close? He said, because most of us are in our 70s. I think we've heard that joke in different forms before, which is very true. That, by the way, that 84 Bears team that we referenced earlier, which had the 5 starting quarterbacks, made the playoffs, much like this year's Browns are going to have 5 starting quarterbacks and make the playoffs, the only 2 teams to ever do so. That was against an aging Hogs team in 84, and the Bears were on the come up, and RFK was so loud that Steve Fuller in shotgun formation would like look at the refs and be like, we can't do anything. And they would like stop the play clock in those days. And then they would like resume it, and they'd have to go to hand signals and all that.
What? They'd stop the play clock because they would stop it for a second.
They'd have a conversation, the ref and Steve Fuller, and then they'd restart. He'd be like, look, it's just you have to play. And then restart it, and then I guess they figured out hand signals or whatever. But that's how it was. You couldn't hear the person next to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you could please quiet down. The opposing offense is having trouble communicating.
It's fantastic. But that was the only time they ever lost at RFK Washington. Good for that Bears 84 team on the come up. Ladies and gentlemen. And unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger.
Oh, yeah. He's not here live, but he's still.
Don't call it a comeback. Billy, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. A little under the weather. I don't know. It's going around, though. I know so many people sick. I've never, ever known anyone's. So many people sick at one time. It's all around the Las Vegas poker rooms and the Las Vegas casinos. And not only that, I know people coast to coast. I know people in Manhattan Beach sick. I know people that are on the East Coast, New Jersey, Virginia, Florida sick. So I'm not that bad right now, but I had like an inner ear infection, and I just wanted to be safe and call it one more day at home. I just a cough for like a month and a half. And let me tell you something. I'm pretty lucky. I don't get sick. You guys see I come in there with my little black bag of a medical kit of different things every week. And I take a lot of vitamins and a lot of things to boost my immune system. And I mean, you know, it's funny. I was just going to make up my, as you could see here, that's just vitamins, really. There's one pill, but besides that, I take about, I don't know, 15 vitamins a day. And I've been pretty good for 5 years. Never had COVID, never had, never been really sick in the last 5 years. So, but anyway, it is what it is, and we'll get over it. And it's amazing. You guys, I think you built up your resistance before the show, Gil. You said something good.
Yeah.
It's true. There could be.
I think
walking around casinos.
I think if you walk around casinos every day, and we work in a casino, and we're not in an enclosed studio here, this just in, that I think we are in some ways inoculated from just the germs because we were so germy to begin with. Let me ask you a question here as we head into Week 18, Bill. Are you sweating anything NFL wise? Like, do you do season long stuff?
Oh my god! The things I'm sweating. This is the biggest week of action as far as, because I'm still in the line, you know, these contests. I have 10% of two guys that are in the top 40, both of them, one being Fez, like you know. But also I have percentages of another guy that I'm on the cusp of. And myself, me, my own entries, I'm in 101st in millions and 173rd, I think. And I thought after last week, I just said, up, it's over. We're done. I just figured. But it just so happens that the top 200 from last week, the bulk of them in millions went 2-3.
Yeah.
So they did terrible because somehow I went 2-3 and I stayed the same. And that's how bad. So now strategy comes involved, and I'll tell you. Now what the entry I have that's 101 is one out of the money. The money's $2,000. Well, guess what? From my place to 50th place is only one game difference. And do you know what that money is? That's $12,000. So now you say, wow. I'm only a few games out of the top 10, but of course that would be a miracle. And that's not, you can't do it. So anyway, even if we go 5-0, I'm not gonna do that. But I'd love to get top 25. It looks like you could do that now. Do you take those teams? In other words, what I mean by that is,
yeah,
a lot of the guys take the line moves. So a line is let's say the Cleveland game. So they'll have Cincinnati minus, I don't know, 5.5. Now, that's not the line. I'm just saying that. Let's say that's 5.5, but by game time, it's 7. Well, and that game did move early in the week, but let's say it moved later in the week. So now what'll happen is most of the sharper guys the guys that have been winning all year or you know, that's been winning for them, taking that line move, they'll have the Bengals minus 5.5. And now here we are, day of the game, it's 7. There's even a couple 7.5s out there. So what do? You can actually do the opposite to gain back those games. What you're doing is two things. You're going to pick the Browns plus the 5.5, the bad line. Hope you get lucky and win that. Not only do you win and have a gain of one game on the field, you might have a gain of two games on the field because all the guys above you, you would hope, would take the line move and the Bengals. So,
well, I think, because, you know, I'll quote my buddy Joe Pita, who's a frequent guest on the show. Basically, the marker that you can make with something like millions is if you go 3-2, you usually gain a half point on the field. If you go 4-1, you usually gain roughly a game and a half. And if you go 5-0, you soar. You gain like 2.5 points, pardon me, on the field. That's usually the metric and how you should think of it. And if you're in 101st, again, top 100 make money. The real money, quote unquote, is in the top 10, right? Like that's the real money. Someone like you, you don't care if you fit. You don't care that if I finished 85th, you say, hey, I cashed. But like that doesn't really move the needle for you. So I do think that you should absolutely, like if you were in first place or second place, as you say, you play, you know, the standard. Oh, if I have the best of it on the Circa static line, then I play that. But I think, you know, one of my plays is I have Baltimore on Saturday and Baltimore is playing their backups and they're catching four, Bill, and they're playing a Steelers team that is in not a sacred must-win situation, because there is one scenario or a couple scenarios where if they lose, they can still get in. But they're highly motivated to win this football game and increase their chances of getting in the postseason, whereas the Ravens have nothing to play for. And I'm taking the points. So, I mean, to me, that's one of those games where I think is kind of counterintuitive, where I think you do consider playing. If not that one, one of the others, similarly.
So those two games on Saturday, Gil, that you're speaking of, which are, by the way, they're less than, not less than, they're like 48 hours away from playing here. I wrote down a note, a rare note on an unscripted show here, because I wanted to talk about this. Maybe I'll do it when we get back to the break. But let me ask you something. So you're saying Pittsburgh's highly motivated, but yet you're taking the Ravens. Did I hear you right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because the point spread is just too much, up to 4 points now. It's just too, yesterday the move came in after they announced Jackson sitting. It went from 3.5 to a solid 4. A couple sports books toggled back to the 3.5. But you're saying you actually do like the Ravens in that spot.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of backups that are trying to get jobs next year, too. I mean, people forget about that. These guys are playing for their lives, for their livelihood, for their families also.
Well, it just you know, when teams are in must win situations versus teams, yeah. Again, it's not 100% must win, but it's mainly a must win for the Steelers against a team that has nothing to play for. The market brain, right? The average person's brain immediately toggles to, well, must win versus doesn't have anything to play for. Clearly the must win team. And it's just never that easy. And I think this is the perfect example of that. We'll come right back, Bill, whatever your note is, we'll get into that.
Sure.
Le Batard next on DraftKings. We're coming back at VSiN, the sports betting network.